The foot is a privilege.
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Come on,
really pumped up.
This is the Sunday Run.
For the all-new Mitsubishi Triton, nothing can frighten a Triton.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Marvel Stadium is your venue on this wintry Sunday afternoon in Melbourne. The Dogs set to take on Melbourne in a very big game of footy. The Dogs have been rolling along nicely. Can they get the job done over Melbourne today? Guests Sean McKernan to tell us all about the Bombers' resurgence and Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody in that final goal. Caleb Daniel, one of the real fan favourites in the Western Bulldogs, will join us. Simon Goodwin, the Melbourne senior coach on the boundary. Hot topics, the big three, and we're in a unique position with a former coach of the Gold Coast Suns with Rod Need. Just to get some thoughts on that club, what is not going right there and what can be done in the future. I look around the room, though, and we have a big, big story, an exclusive, and I'm not saying that lightly. Jay Clark is about to bring some news that could well rock Collingwood fans. Hasn't been heard anywhere, so Clarkie will get to that very, very shortly. Firstly, good afternoon to you, Wayne Schwoss.
Hello, Howie. Hello, boys.
Great to see you. Rodney Eady's in the house. Hello, Rocket.
Howie, how are you, buddy?
Very, very good. The King is wandered in. A little bit sharper than he was last Sunday. Hello, Doug.
Howie, you've got me up and about. Yes. I can't wait for this exclusive.
And Jay Clark is here. Hello, Clarkie. In the modern world of media, there's a many, many avenues, so we don't get the tag exclusive very often, but you're about to bring us some news out of the pies.
Hello.
Well, let's get your mic on before you drop your first big exclusive. Now we're ready to roll. There we go.
It started well, didn't it? So, yeah, the Collingwood captain, Scotty Pendlebury, just played on so bravely on Friday night with that very sore finger. We can tell you that he had surgery on it yesterday. It's his middle finger on his left hand. He went under the knife and to fix that and faces a stint on the sideline. So he's going to consult with surgeons over the next couple of days to decide on a likely recovery timeline. So it's unclear at this point. I think he'd be pretty unlikely to play GWS this Saturday. Certainly Collingwood very hopeful that he'll be back in action before the first final, which is in 8 weeks' time. So hopefully he'll be back soon. Now, it is his middle finger, sorry, Swatter, on his left hand. He has hurt that before. He hurt it in the 2017 International Rules Series, but it's not his bad one. His bad one's on his right hand. He hurt that against Gold Coast. It hurt the tendons, etc., mid-2017. So that's the good news, but incredibly courageous. He was best on ground on Friday night, Duck. Incredibly courageous to play it on with a broken finger.
By the way, great news, and thanks for breaking it here on Triple M, but you just confused me a little bit there. You said he might be more than likely not get up for GWS, which is this week or next week.
Mm-hmm.
But he should be back for the finals. There's a pretty big gap in between those two.
Well, he's going to consult with surgeons. He's unclear
it could be 2 to 8.
So it could be 2 to 8.
I don't know. I'd genuinely be guessing. He doesn't know. He's going to deal with the surgeons.
The injury is disappointing, but the positive about the finger injury, he won't lose fitness.
Yep.
So he'll still be able to train while he's recovering with his broken hand.
So, Jay-Z, just to go over that again, he's had problems with a finger. I think he had a ligament issue that cost him a bit of time on the sidelines. So similar finger, different finger, etc., please.
Yeah, so it's his middle finger on his left hand. It's the one he hurt in the International Rules Series 2017, but that's his good middle finger. His bad middle finger is on the other hand. That's what he hurt against Gold Coast and hurt the tendons, etc., in mid-2017. So that ended his season back in 2017. So it is his good middle finger. But he broke that on Friday night in the second quarter. Played out the second half with a broken finger and was best on ground in Collingwood's one-point win. Now, they're already down one man with Darcy Moore on the bench out with a hamstring. They're won by 1 point. Now, this is one of the most gutsy performances of his career and that we've seen this season. And that's why, Duck, he'll be nominated for the All-Australian
Scott Pendlebury, and this word gets thrown around far too easy. Scott Pendlebury is a champion, right? Yep. He's a champion, 100%. He'll be a Hall of Famer, 100%. We know all of that, captain of Collingwood. But please, you're overstating a bloke that's hurt his finger and played on. That's not the most courageous thing. I mean, hey, I'm getting where you. I know you're a friend of his and all of that, and that's great. But playing with a sore finger for the rest of the game is not one of the most courageous things we've ever seen on a footy field.
I would.
There's been a lot more courageous than a little sore finger.
Look, I don't fancy.
You don't run on your finger. And I know you have to. I know you have to take the ball, but you've got. Well, you've got seven other fingers and also two thumbs. So, you know, you
can... Outstanding work as far as the anatomy goes.
He had to count.
Yeah, he did.
He had to really count.
The other thing that you can do, just for your information, I did notice that the doctors taped his finger
and a little
by
jab.
Itself.
A little bit of
jab. Would have had a little jab. But you can tape two fingers together so that help that finger is a little buddy to his other finger and helps him along.
That's good radio.
Nevertheless, he got through the game. He had surgery yesterday,
yep.
Did he, Clarkie?
Yep. All right. He did, and he'll work out. You're a shocker, Doug. But I don't fancy tackling blokes with a broken finger.
No, look,
and that's what he did.
I'm being slightly facetious, but you have overstated it a little.
So just staying with Collingwood. Yep. So Pendles is out. We don't know how long.
Don't know.
What's Darcy Moore? How long's his...
It looks like standard sort of 3 or 4 week hamstring at this stage, Schwatter. So they're saying only minor, but a bloke with his history, they're going to be pretty cautious, aren't they?
Someone, and I won't say, spoke to him, Darcy, and asked Darcy after the game, and I think Darcy thought it was maybe worse. If they've had scans and they're saying it's minor, then you take them for that word, Schwatter.
Yep.
But straight after the game, Darcy thought it was a little bit more serious than minor. My understanding.
That's extremely nice work from you, but a great exclusive from you, Jay Clark. We don't get too many of them. And you've been sitting on this. Obviously, you had surgery yesterday. Not easy in the modern... I'm surprised that hasn't got out. Now, I'm not going to mention... I will not mention names of journalists here. But,
you can.
No, a fellow I know very well. I'm just trying to explain to the listening audience how much these things can be scrutinised. I have a good friend of mine who's filled the role as journalist. I used to have at these various clinics sort of a bagman on the side. So he would have, say, the gardener that worked at the local scanning place, and he would financially look after him during the year. And any time anyone checked in, he would give him a call straight away, or maybe somebody working in the office. Or maybe someone involved in maintenance. Maybe even at the airport, someone working at one of the airports to say such and such didn't get on the plane. So for the fact that you've managed to keep, or the world has not found out about that in modern Melbourne football, Jay-Z, is quite extraordinary.
Especially if you've had surgery at the hospital, that can easily nurse and whatever.
What did it cost you to keep the story quiet?
There was another big story last night in Geelong, boys. Of course, Howie, it was a big game for the St Kilda coach, Alan Richardson.
It was. They did reasonably well.
What do you mean reasonably? They did very well.
Okay.
They were in the game until 20-minute mark.
He's had his punchy juice this morning, hasn't he?
Well, it's better than the juice he had last week.
Well, he's overstayed. It sounded like Pendle's had a broken neck. And you're sitting here saying St Kilda, well, just reasonable. I thought to go down there at the Cattery and be in the game until the 20-minute mark of the last quarter is a great effort.
To be completely frank, what happened? I thought Jay-Z was going to continue talking and he stopped. And that's the first thing that popped into my mind, Ducky Boy. Let's hear from the coach, Alan Richardson, discussing his coaching future after the game last night when they were exceptional in going down to the Cats.
I don't even think about it. All my focus is all about everything we've covered so far, that how can we get better in terms of maximising entry when we're having dominant performance. We've got to make sure that the group continue to drive to the end of the year, given what you've mentioned, that you know, it's looking less likely now that we play finals, so we can either completely fall away and feel sorry for ourselves, or we can understand that we represent a lot of people. This club means so much to so many people that we can give that the respect that it should be, and by the way that we play. And so that's going to be my focus.
I always find these conversations, everyone in the box, quite difficult, because sometimes we forget we're talking about someone's future. And for example, he's faced this same question the last 4 games of the Saints have played. Can you imagine anyone out there listening going to work on every Monday being faced in front of your entire workmate group and the entire population being saying, well, you know, do you think you're going to have your job next week? It'll be a very, very difficult situation to go through. Rocket, you've been through...
I've been through that.
Well, you have, but it I don't think sometimes we take into full account the effect it can have on people, their family.
I don't think you take into account at all.
No. Generally, we don't.
And certainly the public don't, and supporters don't. They don't care about it. It's just... they're so emotionally attached to win-loss and the way their club is. They don't realise the fall. And I don't think clubs do either. No, what I've heard, and this is... I've heard that Brendan Bolton wasn't even told that he was going to get the sack. He was told by a mate on the phone that was all they're having a press conference, and he was walking his kids to school. Now, and then it's just cut loose, and that's no content. It's just cut and dried. It's ruthless. But the effect it has on family and people around you is quite marked.
So do you think, I mean, we do a lot of things right in the game, Rocket. We go through thorough processes normally when we go to appoint a coach. But perhaps the next part of the evolution for football clubs is what's the exit strategy, and if and when it does happen, and invariably it will be when, how do we manage that appropriately and in fairness to the person that's going to be going out the door?
And after your discussion last week about players with mental health issues, there's no doubt, and I've heard some coaches when they go, and I imagine that Brendan's going through a real tough time at the moment. Coaches Association help, but it's more an exit strategy. What are you going to do next? And that's it. I don't think there's anything in place.
It should be.
Whether there's any follow-up from Brendan, say, because he was a young coach, and then probably the ruthlessness of it and the cut and dried and the gone, actually leaves you in a bit of a void. It affects your family. And I think, I think there should be some more done on that. I think the AFL Coach Association do okay, but I think the AFL should be involved as well, looking at the mental health and the support around coaches.
The flip side of that equation, Duck, as supporters, do we get too carried away with the performance of the interim coach? I'm not talking about interim coaches specifically here. I'm not talking about certain clubs. But if you're a big multinational organisation, do you think you'd get as swayed as we do as football supporters? If you were trying to recruit a new CEO, would you get as enamoured by the man filling in the job for the six-week period because you had a little upturn? Again, the emotions there get involved to the point where, well, we have to sign this guy. To me, that's a bit risky too.
There is one media person to every footballer out there now.
I think there's two.
Is there two now? So it's saturated. So, you know, and we're all involved in it. And it's whatever the big thing is, we all talk about it. And I just to go back to Richo, I'm like you, and I'm assume all of us. And Rocket, you've been in the situation. I just feel terribly sorry because you can just for the first time on the weekend, Swatter, in that post match press conference last night, you could just tell he looked broke. He didn't look like himself. He didn't look up. You know, Richo.
I think he looked like he accepted finality of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a body language expert. I hate people go, oh, he's body language. But he just didn't look. I mean, they've just lost a game as well. So
it'd be a hard gig, Duck, though, if you would have a sense, Rocket, as a senior coach, if things are tracking in a direction where the inevitable is only a few moments away. And I would imagine it would be difficult fronting up, given the investment you need to make, both tactically but emotionally, to coach a footy club, while in the back of your mind you're wondering whether or not you're going to have a job in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And there's no doubt about that, because you can get distracted, but you've got to keep the focus on your job. And what Richo's saying now is fantastic. He's saying all the right things, and now he's a quality person, so I've got no doubt he'll be doing all those things. But, no, it'll be taking a toll on him mentally, there's no doubt, and his family.
He'll be, irrespective of what happens, he'll be much sought after.
We've got better at that as an industry.
He'll be much sought after, yeah. I would have thought.
Is there any point in the St Kilda leaders at the moment coming out and supporting Alan Richardson? No. Like, it's pretty silent, isn't it?
Doesn't do any good.
Matt Finnis, Andrew Bassett, should they be... Because it just sort of confirms what everyone's thinking.
Well, players. I've never ever heard a player ever not support a coach, Swatter, on the eve or the whether it be weeks before or months before, not support a coach. They're not that stupid.
So it's pointless.
They're not that silly. Not. To.
And I think you're talking about the CEO and the chairman, but how can they? What way do they support him if they already know what their decision is going to be?
They'd be lying.
Yeah, that's right.
So if that's the case, so if a decision is made, then why don't they come out and announce
because his contract? Because they have to pay him out. So his contract is about the trigger clause that if he can't make the finals, so mathematically he still can.
Yep.
So they're going to wait till that thing, and then there's a trigger clause.
Should they wait, or should they just pay it out?
Well, they've got no money, have they?
Always a way of finding money.
I'm involved in those situations, so I don't know. I'm just... Yeah.
Howie, why do we need blood in the water, though? Why can't we just say, okay, you know what, they know, and if it's the right thing to do, tell Richo, but keep it in, you know, Richo, this, we're not going to move forward. Coach out the year. We're not going to make any comment about it. We'd just like you to, you know, coach with a bit more fruit, you know, just enjoy your last seven games or whatever.
And do you think that's possible as a coach to be able to coach out the rear with, or the, I'm with
just,
a positive
I'm just
effect?
Saying,
I don't know, I'm asking
they,
you.
Why do they have to, St Kilda, in, to get back to Jay's comment, why do they have to come out and tell us what they, what they're thinking about doing, Swatter? Why do they owe us? I guess, do they owe the fans? Is that what you're saying, Jay? Do they owe the fans, if they know now, should the fans know now? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think they need,
they need to.
No, I agree.
But then would you look at the performance of the other teams that have gone to the interim coaches in this period of time and have had a real uplift, which gives supporters hope, which helps memberships, et cetera, the commercial side of the business moving forward?
Well, who's to say that... I tell you what, the reason why I reckon those two clubs have had uplift is because I reckon they're more talented than St Kilda. I don't think... It wouldn't have mattered who coached St Kilda last night down at Geelong. Like, put Lee Matthews, you know, put Alistair Clarkson, Ron Barassi, Pago, Sheedy, all in the box. They would have still lost by that margin last night.
Round the grounds, Jay-Z. GWS take on Richmond and a real concern there early doors for the Giants.
Well, we just mentioned big news off the top with Scott Penderbury. Here's another superstar on baller. Stephen Cornelio has just hurt his knee very early in that clash against Richmond at the MCG. He hobbled off with the help of some trainers. And look, you don't want to speculate, but that that didn't look good for Stephen Cornelio and his knee. We cross our fingers for him. He'll be assessed by the medicos, but I doubt he's coming back on in this game. Howie, they'll assess his knee and you cross your fingers for him.
That is brilliant. Sorry to cut you off there, Jay. I'm watching the game, Richmond GWS. Sydney Stack has just kicked one of the great goals of the year. Absolutely brilliant. First goal for the Tigers. Tigers lead by 5 points.
So is Stephen Cornelio's left knee?
I think so. He is the most sought-after player, left knee, sought-after player in the competition. He's hanging out for a big deal from one in any number of four or five clubs. If this is the worst-case scenario, I just wonder how that's going to affect his future. The contract ramifications for this are very, very interesting, Howie.
And that is a ripper. Also, as Duck said, Autobahn around the ground, Sydney Stack, as he lit the competition up. Jay-Z, he seemed to be in open space as well. It wasn't a contact situation with Cornelio?
No, he just sort of tweaked it as he, a wrench of the knee, really, and it didn't look good, Howie. This is huge news, Stephen Cornelio. He's out of contract at the moment. Hawthorn, West Coast and Carlton are all into him. He's the most sought-after free agent in the game. And if that looks as bad, if that's a worst-case scenario for Stephen Cornelio, and he has just done his knee, and we hope he hasn't, then, that's going to be a big spanner in the works of that whole contract situation. Because are you going to pay as much for a bloke who's just potentially done his knee? It's going to be interesting. It didn't look great, Howie, to be honest.
No, it didn't. Hopefully that's not the case. So Richmond are 8, GWS are 1, early stages of the first quarter there. Before I introduce our next guest, Sean McKernan, who I'm really looking forward to speaking to, an incredible game of footy yesterday. There's been some close ones, but the Kangaroos taking on the Bombers. The Bombers down in the closing stages. Enter Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, who had 3 at this stage. Now, Duck, I'm not sure if you are big on the punk scene in Melbourne, but there's a Brunswick punk band by the name of Picket Palace who have penned a tune to about their hero, Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody. Here's a bit of it with the closing stages.
Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody. Mark the footy, twist it back, Tip and Woody's there, Victor Cannon, handball to Tip and Woody, right foot, step off the footy, I reckon he's kicked it, he has kicked it, Tip and Woody's kicked the ripper, the Bombers back in front.
Plays footy. It's a really catchy tune, by the way.
Yeah, are they a successful band?
Well, they are now. After that song, it's going viral, Ducky boy. Joining us on the line from the Bombers is Sean McKernan. Good afternoon to you, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, going well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great to speak to you. The boys have got the footy questions, but were you aware of the song Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody Plays Footy?
It's been played in the at the gym of the club a fair bit since it's come out, so been well received.
Is Waller a big fan of it?
I think he's accepted it. He's not a massive fan of it, but he's obviously laughed at it.
Hey, well done, Sean. Great win last night. Can you get your thoughts on Dylan Clark, his first year of footy this year, and He managed to keep Ben Cunnington, such an important player for the Kangaroos in the midfield, 3 possessions after half time.
Yeah, Dylan's done a great job this year. Obviously, he's bided his time in the VFL over the last couple of seasons, but yeah, he's been in great form before that, and the roles that he's played this year, obviously yesterday did a big job, and even prior to that, doing a job on Cripps as well not long ago, and keeping him quiet. So he's been massive for us since he's come in, but he's just another player that comes in, plays his role, gets his job done.
Shawnee, well done on the win. I can call you Shawnee because I remember when you were just a little Shawnee, and you used to run around the footy club with your big brother, St. Corey. I can call you that. How do you see your form at the moment, the Bombers? You're just doing enough, aren't you?
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably just doing enough. Probably been pretty close games the last couple of weeks, and probably felt at times that during those games, haven't played our best footy. But like you said, we are just getting it done. But I think the great thing is that there's still scope for improvement, which is the pleasing thing going forward.
Sure. On the back of that question, it seems to be the last 6 or 7 weeks, there's been an extra focus on the defence. You're really keeping teams to a lower score. Has that been a real focus internally, and has that dried up your attacking options as well?
I think, to be honest, it's probably been a big focus since Truck's come in whole pre-season, and probably just the first couple of rounds. It's probably just a bit of a learning thing, really, why it didn't come out properly during games. But that's been a big focus for us all year, and I think it's only just been, like you touched on, round 6 or 7 that sort of started to click a bit more, and we've been able to shut down teams and keep the lower scores. But I don't think it's affected our attack too well. I think they sort of go hand in hand, but it's definitely been a big improvement for us.
What about your own form, mate? You're putting a few games together, kicked a few goals. I know you didn't last night, but the 2 weeks prior to that, you hit the scoreboard really well.
I think, like you touched on yesterday, it's a bit quieter, but still happy with just impacting and trying to compete with the ball and bring it to ground at the time, and still creating opportunities for teammates, which is the focus of mine. But prior to that, I'm happy to hit the scoreboard, and just amazing, like I said, just competing for the boys, and you see guys like Wallow and Raz who can capitalise off that.
Sean, how far can you guys go? What's the team's capability? You're sitting inside the 8 at the moment. You haven't won a final for many, many years. How do you feel the team is placed against those top 8 sides? Do you think this is the year that Essendon can make some progress in September?
I think it holds up with the best teams, and we obviously haven't spoken about finals internally or winning a final or how long it's been since we've won a final. Our focus has been on playing our best brand of footy and improving each week, and just trying to implement what Rich has been coaching us all pre-season. So, if we play our best footy, there's no doubt we can go a long way and sustain long-term success.
You've had Zach Clark step in for Tommy Bell Chambers. It's a considerable change, and he didn't have his best game last week, but he was strong again yesterday. What can Bomber fans expect out of Zach Clark? Because he's got a huge role to play over the remaining 6 or 7 weeks.
Oh, you're right. I think he does. But I think he's definitely up for it. I think last week, obviously, was his first game back in after some time off, and I think people forget that he played over 100 games at Fremantle. So he's obviously an experienced ruckman, and I think yesterday he showed a lot of people why we picked him up, and he's definitely got our full backing to step in and carry that load for the rest of the year. And I'm excited for him because he's a very good ruckman. So I'm pleased that he came in yesterday and played a good role against Goldstein, who's obviously been in good form as well.
Is there any early prognosis on Michael Hurley's shoulder? That he seemed to hurt it last week as well, and then obviously got that injury during the third quarter. Is there any early update?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard, mate. Just know that. Yeah, haven't heard what the scans have been just yet. They've obviously got to get them done, and we'll find out tomorrow. But obviously, he's an important part, so hopefully he doesn't miss too much footy. I don't have an answer to that question yet.
We are speaking to Sean McKernan, a victorious Bomber on the Sunday Rub. Here's Wayne Schwartz.
Carving out a very nice career in his own right, Sean, and I'm like Duck. I remember little Shawnee walking around the clubrooms when the big lanky brother was rolling around. So, Shawnee, during the week when you're coming off a nice game and you're getting towards the following game, you see the phone ring and it's Corey McKernan. Does he offer some sort of advice about how you should be doing your career?
Every now and then we have a chat about it. He's been good, obviously playing so much footy and watching him as I was growing up. He's someone that I obviously I'm going to idolise, but he is good. I haven't touched base with him yet after yesterday's game, which is no surprise considering North Melbourne lost. But I'll speak to him early in the week and he'll give me some pointers on what I can improve on. But it's obviously it's handy to someone like that in your corner who knows the game so well and obviously played a similar role to what I play at the moment. So it's good to have him in my corner and able to lean on him for advice.
Sean, what are your memories of that time as a young bloke wandering around the North Melbourne rooms with your brother and Schwatto was there and Ducky was there and Arch was in full swing? What are your memory of it?
It's obviously pretty special. It's not... obviously, every kid gets to walk around in Arden Street and you've, like you said, walk around with the likes of Duck and Schwatto and Arch and my brother. Like, you sort of take it for granted, but it's probably something as I grew up, you look back and you think how special it was and... Especially with how good the team was going and being part of, yeah, like they obviously won two grand finals in that year and so successful. But yeah, it was pretty special. Just I remember, yeah, you'd walk into after training and all the boys would be there and they'd treat you pretty well and it was pretty special.
Fantastic, Sean. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of Sunday afternoon and we look forward to seeing the Bombers in action next weekend.
Cheers, thanks, guys.
Well done, Sean.
Nice to speak to Sean.
Their run home is pretty good.
Is it?
Take on Adelaide next week in Adelaide. That'll be tough. Then the Suns, Port Adelaide at home, the Bulldogs here at home, Fremantle away, and then the Magpies.
Okay, they look pretty good then.
There's two.
They've got some challenges in there, though,
The Collingwood and the Adelaide games will be tough, but there's three definitely winnable games in the remainder of the home and away for the Bombers.
We're leading up to Melbourne, taking on the Western Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium. Guests, plenty of them in 15 minutes' time. Caleb Daniel for the Western Bulldogs. Simon Goodwin, not too far away.
I'm a chance if he's not here, so let's just jump straight into the building at the moment.
So before we do that, Autobahn around the grounds while we wait for the King to wander back in.
It's the Tigers up by 21 points
let's
over
go.
GWS.
He's not here. He can't start. Shut up, Jay. Let's go. First question.
How his favourite is Duck.
Of
you know
course.
That. He looks after. He looks after.
You can't tell where he finishes and Duck's.
Hot Palmer and proving you're smart. Smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs pub quiz.
All right, before the quiz starts, I'm just going to give you a full rundown of where everyone's positioned in the quiz.
Come on.
My man Duck's on six.
Here we go.
Rocket's on four. Jay's
no,
on
no,
two.
No, 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 five. I won last week.
Okay, Rocket is on five. Duck's on six. Jay-Z's on two.
And Duck cheated the other one through you, so I should be six and he should be five.
Cheated for the last 16 weeks.
Swatter has yet to score. Now
no,
Duck's
you didn't.
Just about wandered back in.
It was the weight of Pittard.
I won last week.
You weren't in it.
Yeah.
No, what do you mean? Me and Swatter were in the one at the end.
I'm sure you actually worked last week.
I actually won. I won. Yeah. And I remember you saying that for that reason I was very good in the quiz.
It was a week before because you can't remember.
I won. Will, who won last week? No, yeah, I did. It was the pit-up question.
You won the tiebreaker the week before.
Okay. All right.
Duck, you wouldn't have known how many games you played last week, let alone how much...
Last week's gone out of your mind.
All right, here we go. General knowledge. Test the buzzers, starting with you, Swatter.
Swatter.
Clarkey.
JJ.
Yes. Yes.
Rocket.
Right, here we go. General knowledge. Don't worry, no one can
I can't see. I've got my glasses on.
So far in round 17, players sharing which surname... Have duck, kicked duck. The most duck.
It would be Cameron.
No. So far in round 17, which players sharing which surname have kicked the most goals?
Would have been my answer too.
It's got to be Cameron.
There's only one played so far.
Yeah, true. Very good point.
Oh, round 17.
Okay, the answer was Brown. Ben 6, Mitch Brown. 2, Luke 1.
Uh-huh.
Since 2010, which is the only surname that has won the Brownlow Medal twice?
Oh.
Yes, this is a good question.
Since when?
Since 2010.
Swatter. After Duck.
Duck.
Good question.
Swatter.
Yes, Duck.
Swatter.
That would
No, sorry, Duck.
Ablett twice.
Incorrect. The only surname that has won the Brownlow Medal twice since 2010.
Certainly not Johannesson.
No.
He never won a Brownlow.
No.
All right, everyone's out.
No, it's
Mitchell. Sam and Tom.
It's a good
one. Oh, come on, yeah.
Which is the only surname that currently appears twice in the top 10 for the 2019 Coleman Medal?
JJ. Cameron.
Yeah,
yes.
Cameron.
Charlie and Jeremy.
Of course it is.
All right. Blast from the past. The 1945 Grand Final was not played.
Rocket.
Rocket.
Princess Park.
at the MCG. It took place.
He's the only one that was alive.
Well, Rocket went there as a 17-year-old. He still remembers the game.
I was on the coach's bench.
So now we're doing questions to suit Rocket's era.
Guess the year. The Western Bulldogs won their first ever pre-season premiership. Mark Williams coached his last game at Port
Adelaide.
JJ.
After him.
This would have been 2015.
No.
No, you went to the previous one.
You suck.
So you went whatever. The other way the other week. You cheated.
He cheats all the time.
Which year?
It was 2000 and...
yes, Duck.
He's got eight. No.
Hit
Rocket. The buzzer.
Rocket.
2010.
Yes, it was. And West Coast finished last for the first time.
I'm with you, Rocket.
2010.
It's shocking. Hey. It's so
disgraceful.
I tell you.
He's on the take. He's on the take.
Things ever come to push and shove in my life, I'm ringing Duck. So, all right, audio round.
You must be in there somewhere. You must be singing something, I think.
I will play three club songs in reverse.
Oh.
Three-parter here. Tell me which, Goodwill, tell me which club the following song belongs to.
Rocket.
Stop the audio. This is bizarre.
North Melbourne.
No.
Duck. That was Melbourne.
No.
JJ.
JJ.
Collingwood.
No. Continue the audio.
Thank you.
Play it again. You're out, Duck. Yes.
Yeah, it's obvious Carlton in the air.
Well, why didn't you answer it then, Duck?
Well, I was going to answer it again.
Okay, I'm going to play you a second song in reverse. I think Will might have been dropping a few tabs when he was writing this particular quiz. Okay, I'll take the audio.
Swatter. North Melbourne.
No.
Duck. Giants?
No. Was that Miss Piggy?
It was. I find this. No, let's play a little bit more of it. I like this. That's enough.
JJ. Brisbane?
No. Rocket.
Essendon.
No. It was the Mighty Fighting Hawks. Part C.
Duck,
I can get that one.
Well, you can get that one.
Yeah, I can, but you need to because I'm not dying.
Rocket.
Hold on.
You said Duck. That's your default
Giants.
Position. Will's
Giants?
Just pointed to...
Yes, it was Giants.
Duck, that's
Will,
bloody cheating.
Are you producing this show?
That is cheating.
Then override Will. This skinny little paper cutter.
He's come out of a fax machine.
17 rounds. You finally said something funny, Rocket. It's taking you a while. Duck 1, Rocket 2, J 1, Schwatter 1. Okay. Sponsor watch, Duck's strong point.
Oh,
which two?
Why don't we just give, what do we do this quiz? Let's get it.
Are you ready, Duck?
Yep.
Okay, good. Which two companies have their logos printed on the grass of an AFL field in 2019?
Duck, Swatter.
Yes.
What, Toyota?
Yes.
And...
Oh, come on.
Telstra. JJ. Yes,
come
it is.
Come on.
That's correct. Toyota and Telstra.
Telstra.
Yes.
And can you just swivel your head to make sure Duck needs to know the lookout there to see where the logo's are? Fair dinkum, you're about 3 seconds from going out the window,
I
Peanut.
It's pretty obvious that we're at a ground where the logos are painted
you.
On.
Thank you.
Okay, no. In the news, Ben Cunnington... You ready, Duck?
Yep.
Good. Ben Cunnington will come under MRO...
Oh, yes. No. Gut punched. No,
you're out. Just wait up. Ben Cunnington will come under MRO scrutiny for another swinging arm incident against Essendon nearest the pin. How much has he been collectively fined for 2019? Duck.
He's 15,000 all up.
Hang on.
15,000 all up, but there was five of that hanging over his head.
So nearest the pin, what's your answer?
15,000.
Schwatter.
10.
10,000. Rocket.
Yeah, he's right, but I'll go to 16.
Well, that's interesting because it's 15,500. So now
we've got to round it up. No, it's Rocket's point. Well done, Rocket.
No.
Yep, well done.
No, you round up.
You round up.
Thank you very much.
You round up well.
Well done. Well done, Will.
Yep. Rocket gets it.
Yep. Good job, Rocket.
Rocket on three. Duck
Thanks,
on two.
Will.
Jay-Z on one. Schwatter on one. Okay. In the who am I? This is for the big win now. Once you guess, you can't guess again. I was born.
Except Duck.
Okay. I was born September 14, 1981, and hold a club's games record. I won two best and fairests, both in premiership years, which takes a great deal of skill. I made six All Australian teams. JJ.
Nick Riewoldt.
No. including, I made six All-Australian teams, including in my final season in 2016. For 2 points, I played all of my 332 games.
Is it McLeod?
No, for Geelong. 1 point. I was a defender in three premiership teams. You're out, Duck.
Swatter.
Yes.
Corey Enright.
It was. So, the end result. Rocket. Duck 2, Swatter 2, J1, Rocket 3 wins it, and it's now 6 apiece at the top of the leaderboard, which is good.
How did I manage that?
I'm not sure how you did that.
Unbelievable. You tried everything.
I heavily weighted it for my quacking friend, but he didn't get home. The next man that joins in the box, well, he's had an absolutely unbelievable year for the Western Bulldogs. His name is Caleb Daniel. He's out with a hamstring, which is disappointing when we're calling his team the Subba. Hello, Caleb. How are you?
Yeah, going well. How are you, boys?
Yeah, good. Tell us about the hammy. Never good. Never good.
Nah, it's a bit annoying. It's just a little hiccup, so it's feeling really good. Yeah, obviously not playing this week, but trying to get up for next week, and we'll see how we go.
First one. What do people tell you when you do your first hemi? What's the advice? Because they're normally 3 to 4 weeks, aren't they?
Proper hemis.
Yeah. I'm not too sure. I didn't obviously. Yeah, it was my first one, so I didn't really know what the feeling felt like. And I was surprised that it was sort of a grade two. I didn't think it was that bad. And I suppose the medical staff run you through it, and they get you back running and all that pretty quickly. It was a couple of days, and I was back jogging and that sort of stuff. So they try and get you back out there pretty quickly. And I think it's just a speed-related sort of injury. So you got to watch that top-end speed.
Caleb, congratulations on your form. You've had an outstanding 2019 so far, and will no doubt be high up in the best and fairest. But can you tell us about your role? Because it did seem like you were playing a new sweeping role in defence and then running up for there. Can you explain the change?
Yeah, it probably came about towards the back end of last year. I think we had a couple of injuries through the half back line at the back end of last year, and sort of mid game, just got the call from the box and went back there, and it sort of worked for the sort of back 4 weeks of the year. So spent all pre-season back there and playing that half back back pocket sort of role, and trying to use the footy out of there and get us into scoring positions.
But however, it has meant that sometimes you've been matched up on a couple of key forwards, and in the aerial contest that's been quite difficult for you.
Yeah, it's not easy when you're 167, but no, it's all right. We play a team defensive structure, so you're going to get caught out, whether it's me or Lockie Hunter in a defensive slide or someone. You're probably going to have to man up on guys that are a bit bigger and that probably have the wood over you in marking contests, but you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Where do you prefer to play, Caleb? Where do you enjoy, midfield or across half-back?
I'm really enjoying this role at the moment. It's been great. And we've got such a good midfield at the moment. The Bontempelli, Liberatore is out at the moment, but Joshy Dunkley, he's playing some really good footy. So, I'll just play wherever they put me. I suppose I probably spend a fair bit of time up forward as sort of a half forward and creep my way into the midfield a little bit. But, like I said, I'm really enjoying where I'm at the moment.
I want to go back a little bit. Noble debuted the other night for Collingwood, got told his whole junior career right through that he'd be too small, couldn't play AFL footy, which surprised me. Coaches that coached him in junior footy shouldn't have been telling him that. So clearly he had some numbskull junior coaches. But I want to ask you, did you have the same battles going through your junior kid? Did you have people telling you you were too small?
I was pretty lucky. I think I had some really supportive coaches, and my family was really supportive, and everyone around me was really good. But you do have the doubters. It's not probably as easy being shorter. You got to work on your strengths as well, like your weaknesses are you're short and you're probably not as strong, and marking contests like we've mentioned, but you got to work on them, but you got to bring something special to the table as well. So there were probably a few people who were doubting, but the people that really mattered are the people that are around you, and like that fella, he's probably had his family say, mate, if you're good enough, you're tall enough. So
On that point, when it came into your draft year, and I know you had a pretty reasonable carnival, was there any doubt in your mind that you'd get drafted? What were teams giving you any hope? Or were people around you saying that your height would actually count against you?
No, I was pretty lucky. I sort of debuted in the Sandford when I was 16, so I was able to play against men for a couple of years before getting drafted, which, really helped me out. But, coming into that carnival and things like that, I'd had an ankle injury, so I was a bit nervous about that throughout that whole period. But everyone was sort of positive and, got a chance, and yeah, take it and whatever else. So, yeah, it was good.
On the point of wearing the helmet, is that just a security thing? Obviously, you've had a concussion over a period of time. Is that just you feel comfortable wearing it?
Wore it from juniors right through, right?
Yeah.
I've worn it since I was probably about seven.
Same helmet?
Same one, yeah, exactly.
Don't you know this story?
So therefore his head hasn't grown at that time.
It's a world-famous story.
Craft of radio is I know the story, but maybe our listeners don't. Hence that I asked Caleb about it.
Public.
Sorry,
yes,
continue, Caleb. Enough.
Yeah, so I'm from Queensland originally, so grew up loving rugby league, and Jonathan Thurston's was my favourite player, and Mum sort of said,
superstar.
Chuck a helmet on, whatever, and I just didn't think too much of it, and obviously it's a bit different in the AFL, so I moved to Adelaide when I was six and played footy straight from there, sort of into the tackling under nines when I was about six as well. So, and then I just got sort of stuck with it, and it's like putting a mouth guard in and just part of the kit bag.
Was it big at the time, or was your head not grown?
No, it was massive at the time.
What we don't realise, the fact that you wear a helmet, is, which would be a lot of jealousy in this box, that is a magnificent head of hair you've got going, which we don't often see, Caleb. Hey, and I noticed you got the scarf on as well. 30 years. It's the commemorative scarf. There's a lot of memorabilia, I know, around the ground today, so Bulldogs fans, get involved. 30 years, Clarkie, since this club nearly went under. Have you been explained much of the history of what happened and heard from some of the people that were so involved in keeping your footy club now going?
Yeah, we definitely have. I think it's as soon as you sort of get drafted, the stuff from the footy club always comes out. And this week's been great. We've had a lot of, meetings and different things that sort of talk about how special this day is and how special that day 30 years ago was. So, to hear some of the people and some of the lads and the ladies that really went out of their way to keep their football club, as they call it, alive, it's huge, and it's really touching.
Fantastic, Caleb. We appreciate your time. When do we expect to see you playing? Maybe next week?
Maybe next week. We'll see.
Okay, good on you. Who wins the World Cup final tonight?
Who's playing?
New Zealand, England?
New Zealand can't make a score, so I'm going to say England.
And Roger versus Novak?
I love the Fed, so Fed.
All right.
Caleb, can I ask us quickly one more before tell us, what is the beauty for you about your coach Luke Beveridge? So at the moment the club's trying to re-sign him to extend him. I'd be surprised if there aren't other clubs who go after him with the current vacancies. What is his great strength as far as you're concerned?
I suppose he's a lot like a really good friend. He's very open, very approachable. You can go to him and talk to him about anything, whether it be football related or outside. But I suppose he's just got a way of bringing the best out in people, whether, like I said, that be football related or not. I think, no one would have seen myself. I'll use myself as an example as a halfback flanker, but it's come to fruition and it's going okay. So I think he really instills confidence into players to bring out their attributes and what they bring to the team and the table. So, and he instills you play three lines as well as you can. So whether that be forward, mid or back, you do it to the best of your ability.
And while he clearly has that great relationship, is he able to be firm with you guys as well? Is he still that disciplinarian, or can you tell us about that balance?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can have coaches that are too firm and you sort of lose the respect on that. So you got to have both, I think. Someone who's very caring and nurturing, but also someone that can give it to you straight and tell you, right and wrong and what that is. So, he's got that really good blend and, he brings it out when he needs to.
Has he got the best arms at the club?
Oh, they're up there. He's a little nugget, isn't he?
Seriously good pipe rocket, Luke Beveridge.
Have you ever seen him on a skateboard?
I haven't, but I wouldn't mind it.
Is he a skateboarder?
I've seen him on the surfboard. He goes all right.
Is he? Okay. Thank you to you, Caleb. We hope to see you next week or in a couple of weeks' time. And again, for Bulldog supporters, all sorts of memorabilia at the ground, I think today, Caleb, that they can buy in 30 years. Definitely. Since the club nearly went under. Fantastic. Caleb Daniel joining us in the Dogs. Gold Coast Suns were playing last night against the Adelaide Crows at the same time the Geelong St Kilda game was on, if you missed it. A 95-point win to the Crows. They have now lost 12 straight games, the Gold Coast Suns. They have a percentage of 64.1. Their last win was against Carlton by 2 points in the closing stages 13 rounds ago. Rocket, we will start with you. You coached this football club. Is there any light at the end of what is a pretty dark tunnel at the moment?
Well, I don't think it is at the moment because of the results saying that. I think what's happened as well, and probably when they started, they're all so young. They're so young. And we talk about Melbourne teams, oh, they're a young team, but they have a smattering, and not more than a smattering, they've got some experience around them, even Carlton and Simpson and Cruiser and some quality around them. And
Thomas.
And they started off well as competitive against teams in and around them, and it was great. But eventually when injuries hit and you don't win, it can fall apart because there's not enough experience around. Now, Harbrow's been good for them. Piers Hanley's just come back, but there's not a lot of other much experience. And I think it was Bluey McKenna made the comment during the week about a draft pick, early draft pick, pick one or pick two or even three extra in the top 10 is not going to fix the problem.
Jay Clark will drive this conversation in a moment because I know he's got some thoughts going forward about the Gold Coast Suns. But from a player retention point of view, you get the young kids in. Even I don't know how many draft picks you get, but if you can't get them to stay at the footy club, you've worked at all sorts of footy clubs, Rocket. What are the unique situations that come with trying to retain players to the Gold Coast Suns?
I think the main thing is success. I think it's about seeing a chance of success. And that's why, you know, when I was coaching there, Tom Lynch wanted to stay. He thought there was some, you know, the second year we won three in a row at the start of the year and a couple other times, and then injuries hit, and again, young, and it drops away. And I think most of the players have left because of most, I've said. Some of the Suns have moved on, and I think they get lumped in with it. Some that want to go for other reasons. I think Josh Keddie just wanted to go to Melbourne. That was before my time. But I think most of them want to go, okay, we want a chance to play finals. And that's the main thing. I see the Suns are spending extra money and having six people in their welfare department. That's not going to do anything. Their welfare department was okay. It's about, I think, it's mainly about having a chance of success. So I think that's the area that we've got to look at.
I think they got their recruiting, with the benefit of hindsight, I think they got their recruiting strategy wrong to begin with. You have a look at, and admittedly GWS had an extra 12 months to see what Gold Coast did. But Gold Coast went and got what I would term as outside players, whereas the Giants went and got Callum Ward, Shane Mumford, Phil Davis, Heath Shaw. These were influential leaders who were experienced, to Rocket's point. And I think that Scotty Clayton has, over his sort of recruiting history, has always liked the outside skillful players. I don't think that has helped them over the long run. I agree with Rocket. Giving them more early round draft picks is not going to help stabilise this footy club. And I was talking to someone connected with the AFL only last week about this club. And I said, what do they need to do? And his comment to me was, they don't need more kids. They'll get more kids, but that's not going to help them. What they need to do is do what Brisbane did. Who's the other Luke Hodge out there that's getting towards the end, but is a strong, influential, on-ground leader, can link up with the coach, continue to educate the players? So this person's view is that they need to go and deliberately target a couple of players from successful clubs that are experienced that could play a similar role to Luke Hodge, develop the kids whilst they're still playing, and then be very careful with their recruiting strategy, both draft and trade, in the off-season.
But I think they need more experienced players than just two blokes who are 30 years
old. The other thing they said also is giving them more players out of local, like Sandful or Waffle, is not helping because the quality is not good enough.
If they get a priority pick, if they do, and I think they should, because look at where they're at, they have to trade that priority pick.
But I think that should be the condition from the AFL.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. They have to trade it. So they trade it to another club, so the club gets the benefit of that, and then they get to pick, you know, who they want for that number one pick or whatever it is. And they should be made to do that next year as well, Swatter. Mm-hmm. So they get some real quality 24 and players. And we're a broken record, really, because we've spoken about this a lot over the last, you know, even this year and last year, but they need to have players, sort of, that want to play on the Gold Coast. Yep. It's a unique place, Howie, because you've got basically everyone that lives up there. I'm not sure. Are we going live to the Gold Coast now? Well, they're on the run. They're up there.
Duck spent time living up there himself.
Corey McKern has just moved up there.
They're running from something. No, what I mean is you've got a lot of people that lived in Melbourne and
the transient lifestyle.
It is, and they've all moved up there. They've got their teams already.
But they're not moved for footy. They haven't moved for football.
No, of course they haven't.
So they've moved for other reasons.
It's just it is a very unique environment. That's got nothing to do with how the football team's going. I would argue that when you first putting a club together, you get the you know, one of the best players in the competition at that time, and Gary Ablett, who's an introvert, and make him your captain was not a good choice. And I've been public about that before. He's a great individual player, but not, you know, wasn't, I don't think, the right choice for their leadership. So they've made wrong choices all the way through.
Okay, so that's what's happened in the past. Now, moving forward, Jay Clark, what is the position of this footy club? And are there concerns for the position?
Just one point on that. What they've done is poured champagne down a bath without a plug. That's the issue. The champagne has gone, there's half jar, it's gone into the bath, no plug, and it drains straight out. Most 18-year-olds, when they get drafted, they want to be in the footy bubble. They want to be in Melbourne. They want to be in Sydney. They don't want to go to Gold Coast because there isn't that footy culture there now. But with the continued growth and support of this Tasmanian cause and the development of the concept that we could have a viable AFL team out of Tasmania means that a Tasmanian team could realistically replace the Gold Coast Suns in the foreseeable future. So the big question in the Gold Coast Suns debate is how long does the AFL persist with the experiment before they shut the gates, before they realise and they say and they stick their hand up, players don't want to play there. They don't want to stay there.
They're not going to shut the gate.
But I agree
they're
with Rocket. With Rocket. That comes with its success. You look at GWS. I mean, that's not exactly a football state either where they are, and it's not. It is predominantly rugby, but because they can see that there's success, they're playing finals, they win games of footy, that breeds an environment where players want to stay. And by the way, if they were winning footy and you're living up on the Gold Coast, what a place to live. You can fly under the radar. The GWS boys, and we often, you guys, and I say, they're not you guys, but there are a lot of people that are always like right now, Canelio, you know, he's gonna leave. Some of those players up there, Schwatter, they absolutely love the fact they're playing AFL footy and they can get around Sydney and not be in that bubble that you talk about and not be, hassled or recognised all the time. I mean, if I could turn back time and be an 18-year-old now, I would love to play for GWS.
Well, That's great, but it's missing the point a little bit in the sense that if this Gold Coast Suns side struggles to win for the next 2 years, Rocket, at what point do they say, well, it's just not working?
Well, I don't think we can answer. That's at the AFL. I don't know. No, we can surmise and guess on that, but it's really an AFL thing. So no, we can say, oh, yeah, they can shut the gate.
Well, what do you think? Is this going to succeed?
I said they should never have come in.
Your mouth's not moving, Rocket.
How'd
you answer that question?
Rocket, will it succeed or not?
No. It's not how long's a piece of string for how long you got. And they've got to
Rocket, answer the question. Do you think it succeed, yes or no? Jay's asking you pretty straight.
It could, yes.
There's no short-term intention for the AFL to shut the shop on Gold Coast. I'll tell you why. Because when you talk about Gold Coast and the GWS Giants, you're talking to the Australian marketplace up the eastern seaboard. You can go down to Tassie. They won't take Gold Coast and put them down in Tassie because the market is much smaller. The AFL strategically and deliberately got an extra game, so went from 8 games around to 9, increases the TV rights. Mm-hmm. And when they've got 2 teams, even though one of them is not performing well, they're talking to a much bigger marketplace compared to Tasmania. Mm-hmm. And that's why they'll continue to invest to ensure that marketplace becomes sustainable.
Hold your thoughts for a moment. I'm enjoying the conversation. No doubt Simon Goodwin is just fascinated by what he's listening to. He's down on the boundary with the number one in the business. He's back in the trench coat, Robbo.
I am. I needed it. I'm thawed out from last night. Wow, was it cold down there at Geelong, but I've got the coach with me. Goody, I tell you what, Gawn, Lever and Jeddah into your side, 3 big ins for you today.
Yeah, they are. You know, we haven't had much continuity, and to get, Neville Jeddah and Jake Lever, especially in their back half, is really important. And obviously the big boy is such an important player to us. To get him back around the stoppages and clearances is a massive boost for us.
You got to respect the opposition, and Luke Beveridge during the week said, good enough to make a serious September push. So they're in good form, so you've got to respect them. And also they've taken big scalps in Geelong and Port Adelaide, and no change, they're the settled mob. How have you handled coaching them this week at the D's?
Oh, we've just looked at this as a great opportunity. They're right, you know, they're in great form. You know, their pressure around the ball, their hands in tight is very good, and they're starting to control the tempo of the game. And you know, they're having over 400 possessions a game, so they're in really good form. They're probably back to their best, and you know, we're looking at this as an opportunity to really, you know, we think we're starting to gain a bit of momentum as well. You know, we've won two out of the last three, and we're starting to look more like the Melbourne way that we know we can capable of playing.
Goody, Jay Clark here, mates, and no Tommy McDonald and Sammy Wiedemann out with a calf, unfortunately, as well. It means you've got Christian Petrarca and Braden Pruce currently lined up at 10-hour forward and full forward on your team sheet. How are you going to kick a winning score today, mate?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jay. Look, you know, we've just finally got a bit of continuity with in our forward half and some efficiency going in. So it's one of our great challenges today is to provide a forward line that can kick a score. And obviously, Prusy is going to be down there and Petrarca and Hannon. And, you know, we'll probably throw Harrison Petty down there as well. You know, a young kid that's played some junior footy as a forward. And sometimes when these opportunities arise, you just don't know what you're going to find.
So, Goody, how do you coach for that? Because as you said, all year that's been an issue in terms of going inside 50, your efficiency. Does anything change in terms how you'll do that today?
Oh, not so much in method, Duck. You know, we've certainly worked really hard on that, and probably the last 3 weeks it started to come out in our games. You know, I think we're up around the 50% in terms of efficiency now, and so it was heading in the right direction. Now with the change of personnel, our method's not going to change much, other than the fact that we know here at Etihad that shallow entries can be a bit of an issue for you. So we've got to look out for that and make sure that we find an avenue to goal.
Hey, Goody, Maxi Gawn and Jakey Lever are big name inclusions again, but to have Nev Jeddah available in the ones is a really important inclusion given, you know, the last couple of years and how important he's become.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's an All-Australian squad member and he's been in terrific form for the last 3 years, and he's just such a competitor, and he really is. He's in our leadership group for a reason. His communication behind the ball and his ability to help his teammates is outstanding. So to get him back, we haven't had him for 10 weeks, to get him back and driving that into the ground is really important for us.
Goody, you had that unfortunate near fainting issue a while ago, mate. I've been concerned about you. Just want to make sure you've been having a hot bath or having a cup of tea or a bit of time at the light. Are you just sort of taking time out for yourself, mate?
He looks a bit pale, actually.
Yeah, I am, mate. It's you know, it's actually been a pretty big year, and Saturday I just forgot to eat and drink. So you know, one of those things that you got to do as a coach is to make sure you get plenty of tuck into you. So turn that around, and now feeling pretty good, boys.
I did a bit of investigating about that actually, Goody, and I. Found out you trained very, very hard that morning, and I also found out you're doing that sort of a diet type thing where you don't eat for 14 hours or whatever.
Fasting, Doug.
Is there any truth to any of that? You don't need to diet, look, mate. You've got a great rig.
Your research is strong, Doug. It's fair to say that I've adapted, mate, and made some changes in that space.
Very good. You don't, mate, your rig's great, mate. You don't need to do that.
Thanks, Doug. I learn off the best, mate.
And very nice skin you've got too, coach. So we love your work all round. Best of luck to you and the Melbourne Footy Club this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
He's got nice skin. He's got nice skin.
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah, he's a very, very, very nice man.
Howie's Hot Topics.
Sorry, what do you have to say? I just got some feedback. I don't know if you want to go with it, Howie, about your quiz, but anyway.
Howie's quiz is by far and away the most entertaining 15 minutes of radio on the planet.
Yep, not sure it reads like that, but anyway.
No, I couldn't really read out what Luke Burnham thought. We found it amusing in here, but no, we'd probably leave that one for a later time slot, I would have thought. All right, Hot Topics, here we go. A lot of sport on at the moment, which I'm enjoying. Firstly, it was compared last night, Jay-Z. I'm going to start with Schwatter because I know you don't like to start.
Which is not game, every question. Okay. Anyway,
the game between Geelong and St Kilda, there was a reference to Any Given Sunday about the Cats just got
good
it done
movie.
Inch by
good.
Inch. Great movie. So what do we start with you? Your favourite sports movie of all time?
The Natural.
Oh, The Natural. Mm-hmm. Robert Redford.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Good flick. Jay-Z.
I like Field of Dreams.
Oh, yes. Kevin Costner. Yes.
Builders.
Kevin Costner.
And They Will Come.
Yes, very nice film. Ducky Boy?
There's so many, but 42.
I like 42.
42.
Well. Jackie
that.
Robinson.
Jackie Robinson.
Oh,
true story.
Seen that. A very good film.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Great movie.
Nice film.
I like that. I liked Moneyball.
Moneyball. Yes.
And then The Draft with Kevin Costner.
Draft Day. Very, very
good. What about
draft
yours? Day, was yours your doco with Mick Fanning?
No. That was very good, though. I think Draft Day or the baseball one as well, Field of Dreams.
What about Wild Thing?
Yeah, Major League. Very, very League. Good film.
Yeah.
Okay. Some big, big sporting events on tonight. Roger versus the Joker. Duck, we'll start with you. Who will you be going for in that match? And secondly, who do you think will win?
Not even a question who I'll be going for is Roger.
Okay.
And I'm hoping he'll win. I'm not sure he'll win. So, to be honest, I think it's a 50-50 contest.
Okay, Rocket?
Very similar. I'm hoping that Roger wins. 50-50, maybe. I think probably the Joker might get up.
Shorter.
Same as the two boys.
Okay.
I think Federer wins. I watched his third set against Nadal, what was it, 3 a.m.
yep.
The other night. His work at the net.
He's still got so many tricks, hasn't he?
Was extraordinary. I mean, Nadal was smashing it so hard back at him, and he was just dropping it over the net. It's just unbelievable what he
can. Okay, we're all on Roger then. Gee, Serena. Did Simona Halep do a job on her last
four errors.
Incredible statistics. Unbelievable. Used to be coached by the great South Australian Darren Cahill as well.
And she pumped him up afterwards.
Okay, same question now. The Cricket World Cup final. Absolutely shattering what happened the other night. We'll start with you, Jay-Z. Who do you think will win the World Cup final? Who do you want to win the World Cup final?
Yeah, I actually think England.
Will win.
Yeah, I think they'll win.
Who do you want to?
And I don't know. I'm happy to see them win, to be
You're
honest.
Happy for England to win the World Cup final?
I watched Australia play New Zealand. I was at the MCG for the last World Cup final.
Yep.
And New Zealand did not turn up at all. So I don't have a lot of faith in them. So
okay.
Count the pomp.
Schwatter, big New Zealander yourself?
So disappointing, Jay. We don't win many things. And I think that we're as good a chance. In fact, I think we'll win because the pressure's on England to win the World Cup in their home country.
I like it. Ducky boy.
I'm going to concur with Swatter. It's funny, on the way I was driving here and I'm thinking, could I actually, because I don't have a massive hatred for England or anything like that or English cricket. I haven't ever. But I'm sort of thinking, you know what? The Kiwis are our neighbours.
Yes.
They're our neighbours.
That's it. Bring us
and
into
I
the
do love,
side
and,
in the
and
trenches.
I've always loved the All Blacks.
Yep,
I love the way they've gone about it. So I'm on the Kiwis.
That's okay.
And I agree with Swatter that I think England might crack under the massive amount of pressure that they'll be under to win.
There we go.
Okay. Rocket?
I think England will win, but I want New Zealand to win. And I give them a reasonable chance, though, at Lord's, because Australia played well. They moved the ball a little bit, and I think their little Henry and his
bikes
are
Dibley
Dobblers. So hopefully the Kiwis can get up.
All right. What about you?
Hang on, Howie. What about you? You're the cricket commentator.
I hope, with every hope I have, that New Zealand win. It'll
good
be
boy.
Tough to see the English win. I think the English will win, though, especially if they bat.
I think if they win England, it'll give them a great impetus for the Ashes.
Yes,
so if they lose, hopefully that'll their backside.
Pressure's an amazing thing.
I asked you a few weeks ago your favourite New Zealand cricketer of all time after a good performance by them. Start with you, Clarkey. Your favourite Pommy cricketer of all time?
Phil Tufnell.
Oh, Phil Tufnell.
Yeah. Tuffers.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey. I love his...
The left-arm Chinaman.
Yeah. And hey. I love
good commentary, too.
He wasn't a Chinaman. He was out the front.
Was he?
Orthodox. But anyway.
Yeah, close enough.
Favorite,
spin.
Favourite Pommy cricketer of all time?
Beefy.
Beefy?
Yeah.
Beefy?
So,
Beefy?
Yeah.
I was both of them, but I got friendly with Glatz and Small, so I always liked
Glatz. Small.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yours, Howie?
Beefy or Freddie? Because to me, and the English hate you saying this, to me, they both seem to play
like Australians.
And you say that to them, and they do not like that at all. Okay.
Why is it, you just like lads.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But I'm not a Stokes man, but he's a Kiwi. Actually, talking about that. Their captain is Irish, Owen Morgan.
Yes.
Their gun all-rounder left New Zealand as a 12-year-old, Ben Stokes.
We didn't want him.
Well, you probably should have stuck with
him.
No. They've got Jason Roy, their opener, from South Africa.
They used to have Peterson.
And their number one bowler, Jofra Archer, the rules were changed.
So he gets in.
So they're a multicultural. They're the world team, England.
Okay.
Why
isn't that spoken Rashid? About more?
Yes.
Rashid?
There you go.
Thanks, Howie.
Now, I was walking past the local supermarket yesterday and there was a busker there playing some unbelievable work on the guitar. And I thought to myself, Schwatter, geez, I wish I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
What is one thing you wish you could do?
Sing.
Sing. Sing. I didn't expect this from you, Baldy.
Yep.
Why sing?
Because I can't.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be a rock star type or in the shower, man?
I'd be packed house.
Right. Packed house. What type of genre? Your R&B, your reggae, your rock?
Oh, I'd be all over the shop. Just whatever mood I was feeling at the time,
Howie. In your day with that great mullet, you would have been full body
absolutely.
Set up.
Yeah, no doubt.
Clarkey, what's one thing you wish you could do apart from write?
Really, he's funny, but that was good.
Sorry, Clarkey.
He gave that a good laugh.
He was good. Yeah.
Quite
crisp.
Mountain climb.
Mountain climb.
You know those
what?
Free
Yes.
free climbers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon that's
you should try it anyway.
Free climbing for you. Yeah,
yeah. It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
They're quite slight chaps.
Yes. Yeah, very strong.
Okay, Ducky boy.
No, I was on the. I actually studied this morning for these, Howie. I'm on the same page as Swatter. To be able to sing and be a.
An entertainer.
Yeah, would
that's me as well.
Could you imagine our boy?
Oh, imagine.
I'd be the warm-up act until the king came on stage. Yeah.
And Swatter's related to the great Johnny Stevens, who...
Are you?
Who for whatever reason, Swatter, I don't know what... I've run into him everywhere, all the time. Ran him just in the street.
How are you related to him?
My wife's uncle.
Okay, there you go. One thing you wish you could do, Rocket?
Yeah, that's entertain.
Sing as well.
What about you, Bo?
Howie, you'd
be I'd love to be a circus
performer.
Oh. We could join a band. Get the band together.
We could join a band. And you know what? If we joined a band and we were called...
High wire actor.
Howie wouldn't last a week on our bus.
Well, if he fell off the... The good thing about Howie,
if he
fell off the wire, he'd just float down like a feather anyway.
I like our band. I think we could be called the Sunday Rubbers, but there's no doubt our lead singer would be our man, the Duck.
If I could turn back time.
Oh, you idiot.
Ever getting back together.
Yes. And talking about bands, we heard earlier on Sean McKernan that the Waller, Anthony Tippin Woody, wasn't sure about the song that has been sung in his name by our friends Pickett Palace. If you missed it, this is it. I quite like that. All right, Leroy, that's enough of the Pickett Palaces. Your favourite band of all time, apart from the Sunday Rubbers, who are going to be coming to your local area soon?
Dire Straits.
Dire Straits. Okay, nice. Jay-Z?
Chili Peppers.
Chili Peppers. Mm-hmm. Duck?
Probably, I'm not a big
music guy.
And I'm all different genres. I would say that AC/DC was the first one that I really... sort of liked.
Like them.
Who are you, Rocket? The Carpenters or?
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin. Okay, nice.
What Van Halen sings some good songs too, actually. Who? Van Halen.
You too. And I haven't got hold of our man that runs Marvel Stadium who offered to get you and me tickets when we spoke to him.
Greeny.
Michael Green. Yes. Green. Yep. So if you're listening, Greeny, we are, as a Sunday Rub team, we are still ready to go.
Jay-Z latched onto the opportunity there. He sent a text message out that night.
We're just looking at the Bosch tools.
Can you make the tickets arrive?
Yes.
Just looking at the Bosch tools screen right there. Yes. And there's a big fellow on there.
Yes.
A big happy fellow.
Right.
With a suit on called BT.
Right.
And if you want anything to do with Marvel, just...
He's that man, is he?
He's the man to speak to.
Just seen on the Triple M Bosch Tools replay screen a former Geelong legend wearing a Czech suit, Duck. What did you just say about Czechs?
Czechs are for cash and not for fashion. No, Czechs are in, Howie. And if anyone can pull it off, Jimmy Bartel can.
Czechs. Well, geez, you're back out of that. You put that in reverse, haven't you, Duck? He's come with the one wood and he's used a pitcher.
I quite like it. It is time for...
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Number one segment on radio, this one, Clarkie.
Nice old 31-point win for your mob, Howie.
Yes.
The Hawks and Mitch Lewis kicked 3 goals, had 16 possessions, of course, in the absence of Jared Rufford. He's playing some nice football, the big golfer, it's fair to say, out of the goal square. But the most intriguing part of yesterday's win will be something that it continues to tick over the next couple of days is the treatment of Nat Fyfe. So he was outstanding, arguably best on in this loss yesterday. We know he went off with a shoulder issue. He's had some elbow problems as well. And then, unbelievably, Fremantle coach Ross Lyon said this in the after-match press conference.
To be frank, in the third quarter, we were right on top, and Fyfe was a part of that. We had real opportunities. I think he got checked off the ball heavily. I think he got a couple of free kicks, but... You know, we'd like him to be looked after more, and we'll probably have to take it in our own hands, really, if he doesn't start getting looked after. I don't say that lightly, but I've probably had enough of it.
Take matters in their own hands. Now, that means that his Fremantle players will unleash physicality on the opposition. Is that a...
No, they won't.
Are we reading that into right or
not? Well, why not? Why wouldn't they anyway? If there's legal ways, Rocket, you can protect. Just like he's being checked... from the player that's playing on him. Mm-hmm. Players can check the player that's doing that to him to help him out. And that should, and I think that's what Ross is saying. Ross is saying we need to protect him more, and we'll take it into our own hands.
Yeah, but you could interpret by him saying that as a little bit more to it as far as being more physical and maybe over the boundaries. But I reckon the other ones that get bashed a bit are the actual taggers. Mm. They're the ones that teams go after, and they're the ones, their teammates don't protect them enough. So with Fife, it's really up to his teammates, as Duck said, to block a path, block the tagger, support him in that way.
I will say I am a little bit sick of everyone that gets up in arms, though. And I know Ross, clearly, because he's his coach, he's clearly got to say it. That's very different. But people that get up in arms about these on-ballers that all of a sudden have someone play on them, hey, boys, you're playing a game of footy. What do you expect, to run around and just allowed to, get the footy by yourself?
Yep.
Have a handshake at the start of the game. I mean, come on. You're playing. Imagine playing back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. I mean, we're playing a tough game of footy.
And that Fife's tough. He's coping with it. He's best on ground.
Exactly right.
But it's really up to their players, whether it's Mundy or other blokes, to be able to block a path for him.
But equally, though, if the opposition knows that he's sore and they can target that and potentially put him off his game, given the importance and the role that he has with his team, then they're going to do that anyway.
So is that fair to sort of target?
It's been in our game forever.
Yeah, that's okay.
And as long as it's not outside the rules of play.
So a guy's got a sore shoulder.
Yep.
And he comes into the game, you're coming back from a sore shoulder or whatever it may be, and you have a chance to legally put that shoulder under pressure.
Yep.
You're saying that you can't do that.
No, I'm asking the question.
Well, of course you can.
Of course you can. Once he crosses that line,
you declare yourself fit.
Yep.
Well, Nat Fyfe, I sense, slightly disagrees with you because he was interviewed after the match.
Oh, well, Nat, toughen up.
And he says it's a nasty industry. Sometimes like that. So it's a nasty industry, but I'm not complaining. I'm a little bit beaten up, but hopefully no structural damage. That will keep me out for the rest of the year at all, he said. So I don't think he liked the treatment that
what
much.
Do you mean, what do you mean? So
what he said there wasn't too bad.
What's he saying? He's saying that
he's saying
it's a nasty injury.
He's saying that the treatment was possibly a little bit nasty.
I tell you what then, I'm glad Nat's playing in the current era. Very glad. Because he wouldn't have lasted.
So is the difference when a player has hurt himself and then he's coming off? So remember Nick...
No, Weibold. That's different.
Yeah.
That's different. That's if you're coming off the ground because you're injured, well, clearly, we've seen situations like that.
Scott's brothers and Nick Rewalt.
It's happened.
That's clearly wrong.
Yep.
But if you go out there...
And you declare yourself fit.
And you're fit and you're running around and you're playing the game, then and it's legal. It's nothing illegal, but it's legal, and you're able to put whether it's a player's ribs or it's his shoulder or and you can hit him physically within the rules. Then 100%, you'd be doing that, and a coach would be telling the players to do that as well.
The Cats weren't at their best last night, it's fair to say, fellas, but Gary Ablett stole the show on one leg in that third quarter. He kicked two goals, including one snap from the boundary about 35 metres out, which was outstanding. And the coach, Chris Scott, flagged after the match that he might need another week's break just to freshen up.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how he's pulled up. He was limited. It was in the second quarter when he got that knock, so we were aware that he was, if he could go back on, that he was going to be a bit limited in the second half. Now, obviously, we made sure that the risk of putting him out there wasn't too great, and our medical staff were confident enough of that. But he was hobbling, so he played a little bit deeper in the forward line. And the fact that he stayed out there is a really good sign, because our policy is, if a guy's going to risk game time the following week, we're loath to put him back on, even if the game's tight. But I thought he was pretty important in the last quarter. He won some contests, even though he wasn't 100% healthy.
Give us some insight into Gary Ablett here, Rocket. You coached him, obviously. There's always been this discussion that he's not very good playing injured, or that he doesn't like to play injured. Well, he's pretty brave last night, I thought, kicking two goals in that three quarter on one leg. Is it a misnomer or not?
So I'm not too sure what his injury was. It just a corking hip. Just most blokes can go out with a hip. can play.
Well, in Jay's mind, that's...
Oh, you can have an amputation there.
He's one of the most courageous efforts we've ever seen.
Look, I think he's blown up a bit about Gary because of his shoulder, and he had a frozen shoulder after his operation. There's a whole range of different things. So that got... I think there was a lot more focus on Gary because of the name and probably because he's at the Suns as well. But, look, he was playing under duress at times and at the Suns. There's no doubt he put himself out there.
What was he like to coach, Rocket? You've possibly coached the man that certainly people feel he's definitely the player of his generation and one of the top players to ever play the game. What was he like to coach?
You'd certainly marvel at some of the things he could do. Look, he was easy to get along with. He was fine. You know, he had his own idiosyncrasies, as most great players do. Now, their own preparation, the way they go about it, their own profession. Look, he was super professional the way he went about it.
And there was always discussions about what type of trainer he was. To me, if you turn up on Saturday and you play as well as he does, who cares how you train? But what was he like on the training track?
He was okay. Look, he turned up all the time. He was there. I mean, he wasn't the best trainer.
Diplomatic, Rocket.
Yeah,
he was there.
But I agree with how you don't
turned up. He was there.
You don't have to be the best trainer, do you?
Hey,
you don't have to be the best trainer.
Well, some don't. And he's one that doesn't. His dad wasn't a great trainer.
His old man didn't train. So, but. Like a coach, Tony Lockett, he didn't train much, and we never hear any complaints about Tony. So
there was all sorts of discussions too about Gazza and his fanaticism towards diet and that off-field professionalism.
Yeah, super at that.
In what way?
Special water that he drank and his food intake, how he do different things, his attention to detail, the way he prepare his body with injuries and a whole range of different things. Yeah.
What type of water was it, Rocket?
I don't know. He had a special one that bought it, and I don't know what it was. I didn't check it out.
Okay.
Special powers.
All right.
Hey, interesting moment in last night's significant win from Adelaide over Gold Coast. Absolutely smashed them. Now, there was one moment late, and it was caught on camera, I think in the fourth quarter, where the Adelaide coaches were laughing at something, including senior coach Don Pike. And Gold Coast coach Stuart Dew brought it up in his press conference after the match.
You know, look at the Crows coaches box, last quarter there. So that stings. It's got a sting. That's where we're at. That's what they think of us.
I think you'd want to get the facts first, and hopefully someone interviews Don Pike to clarify it. Now they might have enough time now to think of something else, but I wouldn't have thought they'd be laughing at the Suns. Someone's made a joke or someone's done something then and they've said something.
They all look to be laughing as well. It looked like it's some sort of in-joke and it was strong laughter. And who cares?
And sometimes it could be said about their own player. They've done something. It's more likely that.
Surely you're allowed to laugh in your own coach's
You're allowed
spot,
to laugh. You know, isn't it amazing the scrutiny now? Every little thing, Swatter.
Like,
if you're too grumpy, you punch the wall. You're too angry, you laugh. Well, you're not allowed to laugh. I mean, what are you allowed to do?
But you can see Stewie Dew doing that to put it back on his own team, saying, why wouldn't he do that? You know, us against them, they're laughing at us. Come on, boys, let's get something going here.
Yeah, it's just probably likely that he's laughing at one of his own players. He would have... You know, for something personal that you would
be fair to say they were probably laughable, though, the Gold Coast Suns yesterday.
Correct.
They really were struggling. All right, nice version of the Big Three there, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
We might speak to our good mate.
I'll tell you what we have noticed about Jay-Z today, just quickly before you go on to that, is he loves the courage of the current day player, how they can just play on through a sore finger and a corky. So how much did you admire Dipper when he had punctured lungs and, you know, doing all that sort of stuff?
What happens, Howie, is a journalist, you're often potted for being negative and for being a real glass half-empty man. So when you put the players on a pedestal on occasion, even with our simpleton colleague here, Ducky still finds a way to find that very jovial.
I just love the
I think it showed the courage that Jay played with when he was a youngster.
I jumped out of the way with the best of them.
I knew you were in for a tough day when you turned up here and looked like you'd just been going fishing, that it was going to be a struggle for you today, Clarky.
You're wearing pants today.
I got pants on today. But in all seriousness, I noticed you in the corner. I noticed Duck jumped on you a few times. On a scale of 1 to 10, how annoyed have you got with him today? Because I think the scale's got quite high.
No, not at all. I love working with a great man.
We like to. Hey, if you can't be challenged, then don't be in this caper. It takes courage.
I enjoyed the conversation earlier on about Nat Fyfe and the fact that he was battered and bruised after taking on the Hawks. I'll start with you, Swatter. Find ourselves with a bit of extra time, which is nice. Who do you reckon is the best player in the competition at the moment?
Paddy Cripps.
Paddy Cripps is the best player in the competition, according to you. Why is that?
Because of what he's consistently able to do.
He's an outstanding player who's elevated his game to a new level again. Gets attention every single week like Nate Fyfe does. A lowly placed team, got rid of their coach, and he just continues to put out amazing performances.
Nice from you, Jay Clark.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think that his second half against Sydney, when he literally put his whole team on his back and ended up with three goals and what was it, 40 possessions, that was the best individual performance that I've seen live this season. I just think the way he's carried himself with a young team, so much contested ball and finishing, he'd be the number one for me with Schwatter.
Yeah, hard to argue, I think, Paddy Cripps. But it's funny, watching Nat Fyfe yesterday, I always think that the guys over in Perth and even Adelaide, they get judged more harshly for whatever reason, Rocket, because
I agree.
They are that far away. Nat Fyfe has had career-high possessions. He's had more when he won the Brownlow. Kicked three, he was huge and obviously had close attention, so... Nat Fyfe's right up, but Paddy Cripps for me.
I said 5 weeks ago and I still say Fyfe.
All Australian captain, Swatter, we'll start with you. Who should it be?
Paddy Cripps.
Paddy Cripps is the All-Australian captain for you. Clarkey?
I'll have my man Pendles. His consistency over his career,
his
I think. Well, he was very brave to play on with the busted figure. I think he's had an underrated season. He's got big numbers and also his ball use. He's just so incredibly efficient. So I would have him right now.
For me, Paddy Cripps, because he's the best player in the comp, and he's a first year as captain. It's got to be pretty good first year as captain to be all Australian captain.
Were you ever that, Duck?
Actually, yeah, I think.
Oh, there you go. Well, blow me down.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I don't know if he's the best captain. So people say because he's the best player, he should be the captain. I don't know. I think he's the best player. I think Cripps' captaincy and Penelope's captaincy has been better from the way they've got about it.
What do you think, Howie? Who would you?
Cripps. But I think Fyfe's the best player in the competition. Mm-hmm. Along those lines, when we turn up here on a Sunday, who is the player, Swatter, that you think can't wait to watch that bloke play? You know, Rocket, I'm all about bums on seats and excitement. Who is the player in the competition that you most enjoy watching at the moment? And these are questions without notice, so I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, I'll just give it to Jay because I've answered all the questions.
I think Sydney Stack's story at the moment is unbelievable. The impact he's having, I think him and Sam Walsh are really neck and neck in the rising star race. His physicality, his goal, he's finishing on goal, and the storyline of the fact that every club overlooked him, you know, that he had a bit of a rough edge about him, I just think it's a compelling narrative at the moment.
We got him a couple of weeks ago. He's not playing for Sydney at the moment, but Buddy Franklin, on his day, can just light a game up. And I still love watching him.
I'd normally say a forward and along the lines of Buddy, but for me, Paddy Cripps, again. I just everything that he does and how he goes about it, I'd love watching him.
Duck loves Paddy, doesn't he? Mm. That's good.
Rocket. Nat Nui.
Nat Nui. Oh, yes, that is a good call, Rocket. Nat Nui.
What about you, Howie?
What about you?
Just on Nick Nat, he's a bit sore. He might miss next week.
I was going to say, he didn't look great the other night. He was carrying something.
Still bad, but I find myself watching the Triple M Bosch Tools replay screen. When Sydney Stack gets the football, he is just there. As you said, Duck, he kicked a goal in the first quarter that you'll see on every show.
That'll be goal of the week.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding.
And I know you didn't ask for a second one, but Jared Cameron in a handful of games is a pretty exciting player to watch for West Coast at the moment.
I wonder whether the Sydney Stack storyline is going to just force clubs to reconsider some of their recruiting policies, to take more risks. I reckon we've been through a period of conservative drafting and recruiting around character, etc. I just wonder whether that might change even a little bit.
Paddy Dangerfield, I still love watching, and Joel Selwood as well.
Yeah, Joel Selwood, superstar. This is going to be a tough one for you, and I'm just writing these down as we go. Cult figure. Now, I class a cult figure like the Tip. Tip and Woody, absolutely sensational. He goes across all teams. So my kids, how'd Tip and Woody go? They got no interest in the Bombers, but they want to know how Tip and Woody went. Has anyone got a cult figure off the top of their head? I'll leave it
Eddie Betts is.
Yep. Eddie Betts, that's a good caller. Cult figure, Eddie Betts.
I think Sydney Stack is.
Sydney Stack, cult
figure. I think he's only young, but he's gone across all clubs because everyone enjoys watching any story. Adds to that.
If you said to any kid now in any football state, Swatter, you kicked a goal around the corner, they'd say, we're doing an Eddie Betts. Mm. Just like they did in the sort of 90s, we're doing a Dacos. That's how big Eddie Betts is, I reckon, across.
You know who my favourite Colt of all time was?
Cyril.
Your man. No, he was bigger than Colt. Your man,
Adrian McAdam.
Oh, I love watching Adrian McAdam.
Well, he's only around for 5 minutes.
Nick Nat. Cult figure.
I think he's a cult figure. Yeah, I say. And I love Nick Nat off the field. You couldn't meet a nicer bloke. He's a part-time DJ. Love the whole Nick Nat experience.
The other one is our boy, Flying Ryan.
Oh, yes. See, Flying Ryan.
That was yours too, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's cold. I went with him early.
And Ruzy tried to shut it completely down.
He's to spoil from
behind. So we got rid of him and brought Rocket in this year.
That's right. Ruzy's not big on that type of player.
The man you're going to watch today, Aaron Norton. He's cult,
and he's right there with the most exciting as well. Fantastic. Brownlow medalist in 2019, Wayne Swash, will be.
Paddy Cripps
is getting a lot of votes from the Sunday Road at the moment, isn't he?
What about Tim Kelly? I mean, he could win a Brownlow and then depart the club at season's end.
Where does that sit right now?
I expect him to still go. Yeah, I mean, Geelong is trying absolutely everything under the sun, as they should, but they're going to get a king's ransom for him to go west, as we expect. So whether it's Brad Hill on a first-round draft pick or potentially early picks.
If he was to go west, where will he end up?
His preference, West Coast. Fremantle are now in the market, but certainly all that conversation around this is that the Kelly family will be looking to go back to Western Australia at the end of the year.
Wouldn't that bolster their midfield if Tim Kelly landed at West Coast next year?
Mm. Well, they'd have to. Obviously, they've missed Lachie Neale, there's no doubt. David Mundy's had a good season. It's starting to fade a little bit this year, so 33, 34 next year, so they'll need someone in there to support Fife.
I'd sound like a broken record. I love Paddy Cripps, but I'm going to say Lachie Neale.
Lachie Neale to win the Brownlow. That's not a bad call.
Had a good year.
And Brisbane have won a lot of games as well. We're just speaking about Adrian McAdam. We're talking about cult figures.
12 games.
I'm just going to move on from that. For mine, cult figure in the media at the moment, Gilbert McAdam.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely outstanding.
Got the Jerry Seinfeld look down pat, didn't he?
The fact that he turns up in a suit and wears sneakers. I hear some of his work on the radio and watch him on the television. Jay Clark, I think he's doing outstanding work.
Yeah, and so authentic, isn't he? Like, there's no pretentiousness about him. He's just himself.
None
he's
of
so
that
genuine.
TV knobness about him. Yeah. He's just a very, very sharp operator.
He's a ripping, and he's ripping company too, Gilly. Yep. Great guy.
Any man that rolls up to a network,
I love it,
with a suit and whacks his sneakers
That's
on,
it.
Gets the votes of me.
Good stick.
Quickly around the grounds for Autobahn.
Yeah, it's Richmond up by 18 points over GWS. 2 minutes remaining in the third term. Kane Lambert with a shot on goal to extend the Tigers' lead. As we said earlier, Stephen Cornelio hurt his knee for the Giants. It doesn't look good, Howie.
I enjoyed that little conversation. Before we go, well, I've got one more for you. Very quickly, Rocket, best you've ever played with.
Lee Matthews.
Duck, best you've ever played with?
At North, Swatter.
Yeah.
And in Adelaide, McLeod and Rashuto.
North, Duck, Sydney, Lockett.
And best you've ever written with, Clarkey, for you?
Oh, jeepers.
The Commissioner. Were you there then?
Sam Landsberger.
Mike Sheen, of course.
Sam Landsberger. Late breaker. Doing some fine work on the cricket.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.